We have five priorities going into 2023 that is set by my board of directors and gives direction to myself and my colleagues. Technology and innovation, it's regulatory relief, it's a fair market, and of course, the last one is always data security and cybersecurity.
Welcome to another episode of See You Lead, sponsored by NetGiver, the app and platform that enables donors and nonprofits to give and receive on a no-fee basis. On this podcast, we feature credit union industry executives and the impacts they make to communities everywhere. I'm Glenn Frechette, and it's a pleasure to welcome our guest for the second time in 2023. Mr. Dan Berger is the president and CEO of NAFCU, which is the National Association of Federally Insured Credit Unions. Dan, I cannot believe you came back. It was that good the first time, then?
Hey, Glenn, great to be back. Thanks for having me back. I'm always willing to come back and talk Seminole football with you. So thanks for inviting me.
I love it. I love it. Well, you're my favorite guest for that reason. You know, I don't want to show any kind of favoritism, but I can tell you for certain, I have not had any other guest on the program that is a fellow Seminole. So for that reason, you get two appearances on that mere fact.
Well, I appreciate it. And we actually have a couple Seminoles that work here at NAFCU. So we have the whole tribe is here. So we're very appreciative of the opportunity.
Now listen, be careful, man. Someone's going to accuse you of having a hiring profile just because you're a Seminoles fan and you want to have a fantastic game day Saturday.
That would be absolutely correct.
Well, one of the things that you may remember from our first interview is, of course, I always have water around to keep hydrated. I live in Colorado, after all, but I've brought back my trusty Florida State Seminoles mug. I don't know if you can see that on camera. Not a mug, but a glass. Damn. To drink from today.
I'll make sure I bring my mug next time. So we'll be matching next time we talk.
Actually, let's do one better. Can we find a time to get down to Tallahassee together? Something tells me you're a good time when in town.
I love going back to Tallahassee. I love going back on campus. I mean, Florida State is such a beautiful campus, and it was such an important part of my life. In college, but also the volunteer work I do. I do a lot of mentoring for folks down there, and I've been on the board down there in past years, and I just love it. I love Florida State. I love everything it does, and I love what it did for me. You know, graduating with my economics degree from Florida State really helped me get where I am today, and I talk about that fact on a regular basis. So anytime you want to go down, I'll get the tickets. You tell me when.
Oh, I love it. Well, you may know that this year the game will be played in Gainesville. So in my humble opinion, going to a game in Gainesville is not as cool as going to a game in Tallahassee. However, I know that you and I both have to keep a harmonious household, and we both have Gators in the house. So maybe we're smart men for not saying too much here.
Yeah, just like you, my wife is a Gator, but I've always been a Gator fan in truthfulness. I grew up in Gainesville, and so I do root for the Gators, except for any time they play Florida State. And I don't care if it's, you know, tiddlywinks, football, or chess, I will always root for the Seminoles. I'm always true to my school.
Okay, I love it. Maybe what we definitely share in common then is when we face off against Miami. And by in common, I don't mean you and I mean Gators fans and Noles fans. Because when you travel down to Miami or Miami comes to your home, that's pretty heated rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah. You want to win every game, and every loss hurts. But beating the Miami Hurricanes or what they call the U always makes me happy to do that. I dislike everything about the Miami Hurricanes and always have, and I will continue to do so.
Okay, all right, fair enough. We are aligned. So, Dan, when we were together last, we talked about the importance of advocacy. In fact, you highlighted the three-legged stool of priorities that you and your team focus on, one of which was advocacy. We didn't dig deep the last time there. Why don't you spend some time talking to our listeners about your priorities in 2023 specific to advocacy?
Yeah, when we talk about advocacy, it's not something that I come up with or my colleagues in legislative affairs or regulatory affairs. We focus on operational issues, and these percolate from the ground up. So CEOs of credit unions are involved in our various committees, and those are where the issues come from. And hey, we have to have this problem. We have this problem. We need it addressed, and we bring it to the board, and the board takes those positions. And so we have five priorities going into 2023 that is set by my board of directors and gives direction to myself and my colleagues. It's growth, it's technology and innovation, it's regulatory relief, it's a fair market, and of course, the last one is always data security and cybersecurity. And I'll touch on each one of those real quickly, if you don't mind. But growth is creating a legislative and regulatory environment so credit unions can grow and thrive and serve their 134 million, 135 million American consumers across our great country. And so that's our focus, is to make sure that there's an environment that they can just not survive, but also thrive. So we really focus on that. Then we talk about technology and innovation. And everybody talks about fintechs, and you hear that phrase everywhere, that it's become so commoditized, and everybody has a different definition for it. But we try to make sure there's a level playing field in terms of having access and being able to partner with fintechs. So you can't go it alone. You're not Bank of America. You can't afford 200 technologists at your credit union. So you likely have to partner with a third party or fintech in order to provide the technology platforms that your members want and your future members are going to demand. So we really focus on that. Then regulatory relief, everybody's frustrated with the CFPB and everything that's coming out of there. They are a regulatory threat. And so we're always looking for ways to reduce the regulatory burden that's on our industry and our members. And then I talk about fair market. That goes back to the fintechs. There's a lot of fintechs. There's a kid in a garage in Palo Alto or San Jose right now building an app to compete against my members. So what we want to do is make sure they're part of the same schematic, regulatory schematic that other financial institutions like credit unions are part of, because they venue shop. They're looking for the no regulation. They're looking to take market share away from my members and others in the financial services space without any regulatory oversight, which is harmful to consumers. So we really want to make sure there's a fair marketplace there. We're not afraid of competition. We just want to make sure it's fair competition. And then, of course, cybersecurity and data security is the last one. When I speak to CEOs around the country, Glenn, the one thing that keeps them up at night is cybersecurity. And that issue is 100% of them say they're concerned about cybersecurity and keeping their members' money and information safe. And so those are the five priorities going into 2023.
You know, Dan, as I'm listening to what you're describing as the individual in Palo Alto, California, building the next app to compete with credit unions, first of all, I concur. But secondly, what I really like are those fintechs that design themselves to be established as a CUSO, because then we know right out of the gate that fintech is establishing themselves to be cooperative in nature and to learn from credit unions across our great industry instead of competing directly out of the gate with them.
Yeah, we work closely with the trade association that represents all the CUSOs. And the CUSO does a wonderful job. We partner with them on a regular basis. But there are a lot of robust CUSOs out there doing some very interesting things in the fintech space. And so, and like you said, they're owned by credit unions. So their focus is on the credit unions, and they understand our business model. They understand the credit union member. And so to have a relationship with a fintech via a CUSO is a really, really good way to look at it, a really good way to, you know, execute your business plan.
So, you know, from the first time we started chatting on this podcast, we take an angle toward nonprofits, and we want to make sure that communities and nonprofits, for that matter, charities of all types, are the beneficiaries of the great work that credit unions do. So you just highlighted five initiatives that are important from an advocacy perspective, how do you see nonprofits becoming, again, beneficiaries of your work?
Well, because if credit unions survive, they are in the communities, and they're the Main Street advocates. So they're the ones who are taking care of American families and taking care of small businesses across our country. And so those credit unions are involved. They're the ones that are sponsoring, you know, the Little League teams. They're the ones that are sponsoring Junior Achievement or any of the other these great nonprofits that are out there. So when you do business with a credit union, they're sitting there giving back to their communities, and you see them there. You see the boards at the Little League fields. You see the banners at the volleyball matches or the swim meets. They're everywhere, and that's because they care about the communities because they don't have shareholders or stockholders, you know, putting those financial pressures, so they reinvest in their communities. So do business with a credit union is a brilliant move because they're everywhere, and they're taking care of their members, and they're taking care of their communities, and they're taking care of Main Street.
So as you'd admit, Dan, and I certainly would to our listeners, we don't rehearse for these podcasts. So as I'm watching your very authentic body language, you got super passionate when I brought up nonprofits. Why the passion?
Because I think that they do such great work, and credit unions are not-for-profit cooperatives, but nonprofits is that bridge into helping communities, whether it's individuals, whether it's small businesses, conservation and environmental groups, healthcare. I mean, there's a lot of groups out there, veterans groups. There's a lot of groups, but those are the bridges. Those are the ones that are making our communities better, are those nonprofits amongst us. And it's important that they survive and that we give them the support and the resources, but also the volunteering hours. It's important. There's ways to give. It's not just, you know, treasure. It can be your time as well. And they give back so much to the communities that I live in and that we work in here at NAFCU, that we're always looking for ways to give back.
Well, I did a little bit of peeking and I did some cheating. I'm glad you just brought up veterans. They seem to be a very important class of individual for you and for NAFCU. Talk to us a little bit about what I saw on your website there.
Yeah, we do a lot with the Defense Credit Union Council, DCUC, and Tony Hernandez and his crew. He does a great job advocating for the military and defense credit unions. But we do a lot with, you know, Folds of Honor. We do things with wreath laying at Arlington National Cemetery. We're involved with Project Healing Waters, which is an organization that takes injured and handicapped veterans out fishing and gives them access to rivers and taking care of their needs that way. It helps them more mentally than anything else to get them back out into the outdoors. And so there's a lot of other veteran groups that we look at and that we want to provide assistance to, but more importantly, man hours, volunteering. And it's a really good partnership that we have with several veterans groups.
See, now you've just rattled off several organizations as you sit in the epicenter of it all right there in Washington, D.C. But the greatest thing about serving veterans, and maybe this is impartial on my part because I come from a family of veterans that I'm so proud of, but all of us in communities across the country can serve veterans. You don't have to be sitting in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you don't have to be sitting in Washington, D.C. Financial support is always welcomed by these terrific veterans groups. But more important, they need people. You know, they need volunteers. And they go out and help them and volunteer. Call them up and you do it. You can do treasure, but they also need your time. And so those type of resources is always ways to help. We have our freedoms, and the freedoms that we enjoy is because of the veterans. And we have an obligation to take care of our veterans as well as our current service people.
So I misspoke and I said impartial. I meant to say I'm partial and I am biased given the fact that I have a family full of veterans again that I'm
struggling. Me too.
So Dan, let me close this way. I know you're a busy man and there's a lot of people counting on you to get off camera and do work for them. But I appreciate the fact that you've spent 20 minutes with us. There's something I like to do for our guests, and that is, I want to give you a chance to share something that's near, dear, and personal for your own family. So while you have been sharing a whole heck of a lot, I don't want to say on behalf of NAFCU, because I realize you're one person and what's important to you professionally is also important to you personally. but I want to give you a chance to plug a nonprofit so that our listeners can get a chance to research whomever it is that you offer up.
Yeah, I think in the first time you and I spoke, I mentioned a few groups, but another one to really focus on is Boys and Girls Clubs. The job that they do locally is absolutely tremendous. I grew up in the Boys and Girls Club in Gainesville, Florida. It was extremely helpful. And then I was on the board of the Boys and Girls Club down in Sarasota, Florida. And it's just, it's a bait and switch. The sports and the athletics attracts young people, young boys and girls there. But then they help them with their homework. They have tutors, and then you can't practice or play until you finish your homework. So they have a great thing. A lot of times it's the only place, especially during the summer, that they get lunch served. A lot of these social economic folks don't have free, they have free lunches, but not during the summer. The Boys and Girls Clubs provide that opportunity for them to actually eat. And they do a tremendous job. So the Boys and Girls Club is absolutely something that folks would take a look at. They do a wonderful job in every community across our country.
That's great. So if we were doing some research, it's just a matter of Googling Boys and Girls Clubs across the country, wherever our listeners may be.
Yeah, if you put your state or your city in there, there's a high likelihood there's a Boys and Girls Club nearby.
I love it. I picked up on two things in your answer there. Number one, I have not heard bait and switch used without the negative connotation associated with it. So I love the positive spin. And then the second thing you said that I've been paying a lot of attention to in 2023, earlier this year, while attending GAC, I did interview a fair number of guests. And when I asked them a similar question, they offered up food insecurity organizations. And boy, Dan, I got to tell you, I hadn't paid attention to food insecurity prior to it being mentioned, but it's a real thing. It's a real thing for Americans to walk around with this burden.
Yeah, there are a lot of our fellow Americans struggling out there. And some of these folks, the free lunches at school may be the only lunch they have during the day. So when school's out during the summer, there's no food, and so all the food pantries, at least in our area, are empty, and so they're always asking for donations of food and money so they can buy groceries. But food insecurity is a major problem in our country, especially in this inflationary environment that we're still currently in. All those have a direct impact, and it affects those on the lower economic portion of the spectrum. It's tough out there for a lot of people. But the Boys and Girls Clubs and other food pantries that are out there, they do a wonderful job to try to fill that need.
And I didn't know that, so I appreciate the education from you on that. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for your 20 minutes. I hope we get to do this again, but we're promising each other we're going to get together in late November in person.
Deal. I'll get the tickets. Let's find it and put it on the schedule. We'll go down there.
Love it. Well, thank you, Dan. Have an awesome week. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Glenn. Go Noles.
Go Noles.